All right, the 49ers plan to suspend Devondre Campbell 3 games, that is the remainder of this 2024 regular season, for conduct detrimental to the team after he refused to play on Thursday night against the Rams. So we now have the tally of how much money Devondre Campbell stands to lose because of his actions on Thursday night. And it matches what I was talking about yesterday, except that I didn't know the signing bonus portion. So thanks to SpotRack, we have the amount that the 49ers can recoup from Devondre Campbell's signing bonus. And because of that, we now have the full tally. So he's got a minimum base salary, and he paid weekly. So there was $201,666 left on the base salary remaining to be paid. Conduct detrimental to the team. 3-game suspension means that Campbell is not going to be paid for those 3 games. That's the first line right here. He had $20,000 per game in roster bonus money that was still scheduled to be paid if he made the active roster, but he's going to be suspended. So Campbell will not be on the active roster over the final 3 games. That's $60,000 more that he will not earn. Then we were wondering how much of his $3.35 million signing bonus the 49ers could recoup according to the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement. And the 49ers can get up to $111,666 of that $3.35 million signing bonus. Finally, the playtime incentive. Campbell was on track to receive a $500,000 incentive for playing over 70% of the 49ers snaps. But by missing the entire final 3 games, and I guess the entire final 4 games, since he didn't play a single snap against the Rams, that $500,000 incentive is in danger. His snap percentage was at about 90% before the game against the Rams. It dropped to 83%. And it's going to keep on dropping now since he won't be able to log those snaps over the final 3 games. So that is a bonus that almost certainly will not be met. And if you add up all of this money, that is $873,332 that Devondre Campbell may not earn if all of it is maxed out here. And it appears the 49ers are trying to max this out to send a message. They were incensed. John Lynch reportedly confronted Devondre Campbell on the sideline during the game on Thursday, and then he kicked him off the field. That's from Jay Glazer of Fox Sports. He reported that before the games on Sunday. We heard George Kittle. We heard Kyle Shanahan. We heard Charvarius Ward, all in no uncertain terms, denounce what Charvarius Ward did. And I have to emphasize, this was the biggest story coming out of the game, 100%, because it's something that didn't just threaten one game. It threatened team culture. And it's a culture that the 49ers have done a great job building over the years. And if you don't denounce this correctly, if you're the 49ers, then it sets a terrible message, and it could set a tone of that culture being truly eroded over a longer period of time. 49ers, this wasn't their first choice. Devondre Campbell is somebody that's in the building now, or, you know, well, I guess he's technically not in the building anymore. He is suspended. He's still technically part of the team, but he came to replace Dre Greenlaw while Dre Greenlaw was recovering from the Achilles tear. And the 49ers' first choice for the job was Eric Kendricks. Kendricks had agreed to join the 49ers, but he hadn't signed on the dotted line. Before he signed on the dotted line, he decided to change his signing to the Dallas Cowboys. So, and he had a game with some plays yesterday for the Dallas Cowboys. So the 49ers went down the list. They needed a veteran who could start right away, and they went to Campbell, who I think started struggling during the season but played his best football over the last month or so. And then Dre Greenlaw came back, and apparently Devondre Campbell took exception to Dre Greenlaw coming back. The crazy thing, though, is that Dre Greenlaw performed significantly better in his one half coming off an Achilles tear than Devondre Campbell had played all season long, and Devondre was healthy. So I really don't get it, because we look at the total amount of money that Devondre Campbell is potentially sacrificing. To me, it's wild that somebody would think that That was worth $873,000 to not play a game for which you're under contract, dressed in uniform. Maybe he didn't think the 49ers would take this hard line of a stance. Maybe he thought the 49ers would just release him. But the thing is, these veterans, a vested veteran has a guaranteed salary. So if a team just releases him, they're still on the hook for the salary for the remainder of the season. Maybe Devondre Campbell thought this would only cost him $60,000 because he wouldn't get the per game bonus money after. Maybe, well, but still, the playtime incentive, I'm not sure if he did the math on that, but that's a lot of money. So, again, it's wild. $873,000 is now going to go to 49ers salary cap savings. I've shown the salary cap sheet here a lot over the past couple of days because we've talked about Brock Purdy and we've talked about Devondre Campbell and we talk about every single salary, every single dollar mattering on the salary cap. So we can open that up again and show you how those mechanics are going to work in terms of the cap. The 2024 cap, $49 million in space for the 49ers, 2025 down to $23 million. They're going to carry over money that they don't spend in 2024 to 2025. And then they have to find a way to put the Brock Purdy deal under that umbrella, and they have to sign about 20 more players are going to have to fit on this cap because they only have 33 under contract for the 2025 season. It's all about managing levels of water in separate sinks. That's the analogy I've used in the past. I think it's an effective one, and I'm going to continue to use it. The 49ers were able to restructure a bunch of contracts over the past couple of years to open up near-term space. That near-term space then is set to roll over into the future year. The salary cap has consistently increased year over year because it's tied to NFL revenue. So since you have that salary cap inflation, it's actually inflation that the 49ers enjoy, you can fit a growing core of contracts under the salary cap. And the 49ers' core of contracts, yes, it's going to grow for sure this offseason when they sign Brock Purdy, even if they take some players off the books because Purdy's contract will be so large. But the thing is, the surfing of the salary cap wave is made possible by the fact that giving out big signing bonuses, giving out big option bonuses is something that is amortized. It's prorated against the salary cap. So I showed it yesterday with Jalen Hurts' deal. His first year cap hit was only about $7 million. Went up to, I think, $11 or $12 million in the second year, and then $20 million. So they're going to be able to keep Brock Purdy's cap hits at very reasonable amounts over the course of the early contract while the salary cap is going to be growing. But they still have to field the most competitive team possible around him. So it's absolutely imperative, if you're trying to prevent that sink from overflowing, that you find the monetary advantages at every corner. So the 49ers love to give veterans salary benefits. That's a qualifying contract for a veteran who's been in the league for a certain amount of time, where you could pay him at the veteran minimum, but his salary cap hit is only about the second-year player's cap hit, somewhere in the $800,000 range. Stuff like that can save like $300,000 or $400,000 per player. And if they do that several times and they find effective players to fit into those voids, and then if they draft well, as it looks like they really did in 2024, because that's all cost controlled to the rookie wage scale, the 49ers can save millions and millions of dollars. And those millions and millions of dollars are what allow you to insulate Brock Purdy's contract with the fully guaranteed money that's going to make it work. And then you maneuver Brock Purdy's contract into a bonus amortized deal where you push the cap hits down the road and then you count on the cap increasing. That's how you continue to surf the wave. Parag Marathe and the 49ers salary cap guys have done this better than anybody. They haven't found themselves in cap hell despite having the most big deals on their books out of any team in the NFL. The last time they signed a quarterback deal back in 2018 for Jimmy Garoppolo, it was a very, very team-friendly contract. Only 2 years really guaranteed there, and then they had eject buttons every year, but Jimmy Garoppolo was playing good football, so there was no reason to press the eject buttons. But they set themselves up with flexibility through a win-win deal. They're going to try to do the same thing with Brock Purdy. And, you know, the reason I tie it in with this is because every single dollar matters against the cap when not only you look at Brock Purdy's contract, but when you're looking at building the entire team as I did, or as I'm doing here with my salary cap sheet. So that's the latest on Devondre Campbell. They're going to suspend him for 3 games. Conduct detrimental to the team without pay. It, of course, on top of all the finances, this is also something that sets some precedent that you can't just walk out on the team, expect to get released, and sign somewhere else with a fresh start. The 49ers are saying, no, you are staying under our team control for the rest of this season. So you can't go and sign with the Lions, who need a whole lot of defensive help. That defense continues leaking oil with injuries. You're going to be stuck here, but you can't play and you're not going to get paid for the next 3 games. And then the contract is not going to expire for Devondre Campbell until the start of the new league year. So he's not going to be free to sign with another team until well after the Super Bowl. There had been talk of the 49ers potentially releasing Devondre Campbell outright, but momentum built up for the suspension because I think principle is really important. And in a situation like this, you know, I put it yesterday, it's a matter of principle on top of every cap dollar mattering for the 49ers. So standing on principle is important here because you don't want to set bad precedent. You want to make sure that the team culture stays the course. You want to make sure that Devondre Campbell is an outlier. You can't have guys quitting, especially once they're taking up a valuable game day roster spot. And you need to respect the fact that 49ers players on this team have played through getting shot in the chest, have played through tragedy, children dying this season back at home, have played through injuries. Somebody like Christian McCaffrey went to Germany just to, you know, find treatment for his Achilles to make it back for his teammates, Talanoa Hufanga playing with the club. And perhaps most ironically, Dre Greenlaw, the player for whom Devondre Campbell was supposed to play. He was the replacement guy for Dre Greenlaw. Dre Greenlaw came back 305 days after tearing his Achilles because he was working his ass off to be in uniform for the 49ers at some point this season to help the team. So you have so many stories of grit on this team, even when things obviously weren't lined up for them this season. And then you had one guy who just joined this past offseason who walked off the field in the 49ers' biggest moment of need. You cannot let that mentality infect the longer-term strategy and the longer-term culture of the team. So this is why the 49ers did what they needed to do, and they obviously didn't want to help out the rest of the league. Now, as far as Devondre Campbell, will he just retire? Is he going to try to sign with somebody else next year? Is the rest of the league, I think, was interested in how the 49ers would handle this because it doesn't incentivize the rest of the league the rest of the league is not incentivized for the 49ers to go easy on Devondre Campbell because they don't want their own players to burn them midstream during a game. So now I wonder what the league will do if Devondre Campbell wants to play in 2025, if somebody would take a flyer chance on him because they are in such need of linebacker help, or if this is going to be the end of his chances in the NFL. That's going to be very, very interesting to me. So that is that. Devondre Campbell is going to be suspended for 3 games. I could look at a 49ers Q&A very briefly, and we can go from there. You like D. Winter's play? Yeah, I think D's been good this year. I go back to the pass breakup against DK Metcalf, and you know he started getting some of Devondre Campbell snaps when Devondre was still not suspended for the 49ers this year. But this is a second-year player who was a sixth-round draft pick. So I don't think that people expected D. Winters to be a world beater out of the gate, but I think that he has improved incrementally on a week-by-week basis. The Metcalf play that I talk about, great route recognition. And, you know, back in the day, the 49ers had three monsters at that linebacker position on defense. It was Warner, who's still with the team. Greenlaw, who's still with the team, but it's going to be a free agent, so they got to find a way to re-sign him. I thought that was some of the best news that we saw on Thursday, was the way that Dre Greenlaw played. So I think he definitely has thrust himself into priority re-sign territory. But they also had Azeez Al-Shaair. So now you look to see how can the 49ers develop that third linebacker to create a dynamic that they did have in the past. And I think that somebody like D. Winters can potentially grab that role for San Francisco. Zach asks, is the 49ers' healthy offensive line any good? Feels like they had a decent start to 2024. Yeah, I think so. I think, well, they got a lot better on the right side this year along the offensive line. That was imperative. They were bottom barrel bad at both right guard and right tackle and pass protection in 2023. So Dominic Pooney gave him a huge boost. Yes, he's had some rookie struggles, but I mean, he was graded as the number three guard in all of football entering the game against the Rams. He's still going to be in the top 10, maybe even top five. We'll see where he finishes up this season. But Pooney immediately improved the right side, especially on the interior, which was really important. Colton McKivitz made some real strides this year. He's still under contract for next year. And I think that Dominic Pooney helped Colton McKivitz on the right side of that line. Where the 49ers line really regressed this season, aside from Trent Williams being hurt recently, but it really regressed at center and left guard. And Aaron Banks, his contract expires after this season. We did see about a game and 10 plays of really good football from Ben Bartsch, somebody who the 49ers poached off of Jacksonville's practice squad last year. So the question now is, do they try to re-sign Bartsch? How do they approach left guard? Do they believe in somebody like Spencer Burford, who seems like much more natural fit on the left side than the right side? Burford filled in for Bartsch during that win against the Chicago Bears. Do they draft a tackle? Can they draft a tackle that they really like? And if they do that, does Colton McKivitz move inside to guard? And do you flip Dominic Pooney to left guard? I mean, they did make a big improvement on the right side, but the center and left guard positions, those are massive question marks moving forward. Kyle Shanahan has always liked a veteran center with a lot of experience. And the first time that he really strayed away from that was with Jake Brendel following the Alex Mack retirement in 2022. I thought Brendel was really good in 22, but I think that his play hadn't been as good since then. He still has time on his contract as well, but it wouldn't surprise me if the 49ers really, really shot for upgrades at both center and left guard. Mark says, imagine if the 49ers could draft a decent right tackle and center as good as Dominic Pooney. Well, the problem is that it's harder for a center to be good right away, especially in this scheme. They're handling all the protection assignments and identifying safety rotations. Typically, Shanahan has gone with a veteran. I can't remember. There hasn't been a time with the 49ers that he's gone with a rookie at center. Tackle, yeah, but they have such a specific need for types of tackles that unless they have a top 10 pick, which they had in 18 with Mike McGlinchey, it's going to be very, very hard for the 49ers to find a tackle to their liking. All right, this show is brought to you by BetterHelp. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Find comfort this December with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Lombardi Lounge today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Lombardi Lounge. Everybody, thanks for watching. We're going to have much more later today. Over $800,000 potentially lost out by the Devondre Campbell refusal to play. But the 49ers are going to get that back, or at least save that money on the salary cap. That's your morning update. We will talk to you very, very soon.